Our second reading this morning comes to us from the prophet Isaiah. It is the story of his first vision of God, and how he was completely overwhelmed by the experience, and how he answered God's invitation to become a prophet. It's a beautiful and bizarre vision, filled with imagery of the divine that seems strange and alien to us today. There is a lot of imagery for the divine, but the imagery used in this story is probably not the imagery that would come to mind first if any of us were asked to describe God. A reading from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lofty, and the hem of God's robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of God's glory." The pivots on the thresholds shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I. Send me." This is the word of the Lord. Today is Trinity Sunday, a day when we all struggle to wrap our minds around how three could be one, how one could be three, how our one single God could exist in three persons, or how, in very formal theological language, God could simultaneously encompass three different hypostases of the same ousia, these are real words, which roughly translates to three substances of one essence. For thousands of years, much greater minds than mine have tried to come up with ways to explain the relationship of the Trinity. But no metaphor ever ends up being quite right, because there is nothing like the Trinity here on Earth. We're left with a long string of, "The Trinity is almost like this, except that it isn't," and, "The Trinity is kind of a little bit like that, except not at all like that," and, "We could look at the Trinity in a certain way, except that the metaphor could be taken in a way that could also mean something else, which is not at all what we mean." But one of the reasons that I never wanted to become an academic is because I think that sometimes we can get so caught up in precise technicalities that we forget the purpose. We don't have to grasp every single grammatical nuance of the Bible to understand that its overall message is love, justice, and welcome. If we just look at the Trinity, we can see that each member is perfectly equal to the others and manages to work in perfect harmony. Together they are with us, walking alongside us and guiding us. The love of the Trinity isn't smothering and it isn't codependent. The love of the Trinity is not conditional and it is not hierarchical. The love of the Trinity is simultaneously unity and diversity, simultaneously changeless and ever-evolving. We could do well to aspire to that kind of perfect love in our own human relationships. Today I wanted to look at some of the different metaphors for God in the Bible, because even though there are a lot, and I do mean a lot of them, we usually tend to fall back on the same handful of metaphors, which are usually Father, King, and Shepherd. These names for God have been consistently popular for thousands of years because they have resonated with many people. Personally, I've never had a relationship with my biological father. So to me, if God is like a father, then God is an unfamiliar concept, a being capable of loving other people, but not me. I have always lived in a democracy. So to me, if God is like a king, it is more likely to bring to mind a character in a fairy tale once upon a time than it is likely to bring to mind a real ruler of a real place. I've met a few sheep in passing, but I've never met a shepherd, let alone seen one at work. We often compare Jesus to a lamb, or bread, or a vine, or the way, the truth, and the light, or a bridegroom, or the cornerstone, or a lion. I am particularly fond of a verse in Galatians that reads, "As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." I love the image of being clothed in Christ, his love wrapped around me like an embrace, with me wherever I go, sharing in my every movement. I love the image of Christ's presence being visible and tangible, that every time I passed a mirror, I would think, yes, that's right. I am clothed with Christ. He is with me, and I am not alone. But I also love that Jesus describes himself as a mother hen, which is another wonderful image. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing, he says. We often compare the Holy Spirit to a bird, usually a dove, or a flame, or a cloud, or water, or a river, or oil, or wisdom. I am particularly fond of the image of the Spirit as Ruach in Hebrew or Pneuma in Greek, a word that means wind, but also breath, and also some sense of essence of life. I love the image of God speaking creation into being, and the breath of those words being the spark of life that fills the lungs of all things. We cannot live without air. We cannot live without God. We often compare God to a potter in whose hands we are clay, or a rock, or the owner of a vineyard, or a fortress, or refuge, shield, and stronghold, or the Alpha and Omega, the first and last, the beginning and the end, and everything in between, or a bird, usually an eagle, or a woman in labor, or a beekeeper, or a cypress tree, or a great physician, or a tailor, or many other things. I most often think of God as creator, because I love the idea of God creating the universe with an artist's touch, making things beautiful and lovely and thought-provoking for the sake of inspiring those who see them. I also like the prophet Hosea's image of God like a mother bear guarding her young. Then again, I'm also struck by the image of God as an eagle, swooping and soaring through the sky, seeing far, completely free, hovering over the waters, like God did before the world began. There is one God who is three, and three who are one, but there are far more than three ways of describing the divine. God is so much bigger than us that our human language will never quite get it right. But the more we come together and share our diverse experiences and understandings and views, the closer we might get to seeing a bigger picture.